colder air has moved in, but it may not last all that long. This is Hoosier Ag Today. Good morning. Welcome to the Friday Morning Podcast on the 26th of November, 2021. I'm Andy Eubank, the Hat Podcast, brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for over 135 years. FFBT.com to learn more. Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin has a moderating weather forecast and some rain possibilities coming up. Also, news on EPA and renewable volume obligations, plus more supply chain news. And Mike Silver on market commentary. The news is next here on the Hat Podcast.
The land of the free is also the home of the hardworking. What if this is the year you take your farm operation to the next level? At First Farmers Bank and Trust, we're proud to serve the people who not only work until the sun goes down, but until the job is done. With over 135 years of commitment to agriculture, we'll find the solution that's right for your operation today and tomorrow. Visit FFBT.com to learn more. First Farmers Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
EPA kicking the can down the road and supply chain issues persist. I'm Eric Pfeiffer and this is Hoosier Ag Today. Was it EPA action or inaction? Andy Eubank has a look at the agency and RVOs.
Did the Environmental Protection Agency take action recently on renewable volume obligations by not actually taking any action? One ethanol group says yes, it did. Emily Score, CEO of Growth Energy, says the action EPA took was to essentially create more delay and with it more uncertainty.
What EPA has proposed today is that they want to indefinitely extend the compliance period for all of the outstanding RVO years of 2019 and 20 and 21 and 22. And of course, we don't even have RVOs proposed, yet alone finalized for 21 and 2022. So essentially, this is a giant kick the can down the road. It really accomplishes nothing for us but prolongs uncertainty and instability. And so needless to say, we're pretty frustrated.
Score says what's even more frustrating is that there's no solid timeline for the resolution the biofuels industry needs.
This is a proposal to indefinitely extend. So what we need is we need to see the RVOs for 2021 and 2022. I mean, we're already at the end of November. So in all likelihood, when they do come out with 2021, it's going to reflect the actual blending. Well, that's not what the RFS intended. Okay, you're taking away that market forcing mechanism that we need. So we need the RVOs to come out.
What the biofuels industry doesn't understand is the new administration appeared to be pro-renewable fuels, but their actions aren't matching up.
From the outset, this administration and Mr. Reid have talked about getting the RFS back on track. We all know that means get it out on time, the blending requirements, and let's see that 15 billion gallons of conventional ethanol blending.
The ethanol industry is enjoying a bounce back year in 2021, but Score says they can't keep going ahead without the certainty provided by the renewable fuel standard. I'm Andy Eubank.
Supply chain slowdowns have presented big challenges for every sector of U.S. agriculture. Senate Republican Joni Ernst from Iowa says she and her colleagues have asked the USDA and Secretary Tom Vilsack to look into the situation.
We have called on him to address some of the issues in the supply chain crisis. And so I sent a letter to our Ag Committee Chairwoman, Debbie Stabenow, asking for a hearing with Secretary Vilsack at USDA to examine the recent supply chain crisis and to also probe deeper into the Biden administration's plan to address supply chain failures as it relates to our ag industry. So we're really asking them to come forward. Let's be transparent. Let's talk about what's going on and the solutions to what we're experiencing in the supply chain. This is a crisis. It is an urgent crisis. And we need to know how Secretary Vilsack is going to address this.
Ernst says she isn't sure why the issue keeps dragging on with no apparent solutions in sight.
This is where the Biden administration and Secretary Vilsack will point the finger and say it's all COVID-19. But if you take a look, a much broader spectrum, the overregulation of industry and our labor shortages are really being exacerbated by their policies. And they are as much, or in some cases, even more to blame than the pandemic for this crisis. So a lot of the policies that have been put in place encourage people to stay home rather than returning to work.
The supply chain crisis has especially hit fertilizer and herbicide availability and prices. They've taken a hit here recently. You can hear more on that in the latest Purdue Crop Chat podcast found at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
He's the closest thing to a superstar we have in agriculture. Machinery Pete, the nation's foremost expert on farm equipment. He knows where to get the best deals and what the best equipment is for your operation. See Machinery Pete in person December 14th, sponsored by Bain Welker Equipment and Farm Credit Mid-America. Also appearing on December 15th, Ag Tech expert Chad Colby with a special program on drones and a chance for you to win a state-of-the-art drone for your farm. It's all happening at the Indiana Farm Equipment and Technology Expo, presented by Reynolds Farm Equipment, December 14th through 16th in Westfield, Indiana.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast, brought to you by Seed Genetics Direct, the Eastern Corn Belt's fastest growing independent seed company. Visit SeedGeneticsDirect.com to get your seed guide with pricing. Colder air taking control over the Eastern Corn Belt here today after a frontal boundary moved through yesterday for Thanksgiving. I think we see a mix of clouds and sunshine for your Friday, and temperatures are definitely on the chillier side of things. But we start to see temperatures moderate tomorrow relatively quickly, and then this is actually speeding everything up. So by tomorrow midday, we're going to be seeing temperatures near normal or even above normal over most of the state, but we're also seeing our next little wave or disturbance try and come in a little faster. I think by tomorrow afternoon, we're going to have to keep an eye out for some hit-and-miss scattered rain showers, at least across the northern half of the state, I-70 northward, as we move from tomorrow mid-afternoon through the evening and up to midnight. You have to leave the door open to a few hundredths to maybe 0.2 inches with 80% coverage over the northern half of the state. So that disturbance is coming a little faster. That's what we had been looking for Sunday. At this point now, I think Sunday just features clouds, some sunshine, but the closer you get to the Great Lakes, more clouds around. Lake effect cloud cover, there'll be lake effect precipitation up in Michigan. I don't think we have much down in Indiana. Next week is mostly dry Monday through at least Thursday. Watching for some strong northwest winds to maybe drag a little bit of lake-enhanced cloud cover and therefore a little precipitation through late Monday afternoon and evening. I think we're talking sprinkles and flurries, if anything, but it may impede drying if we're still talking about that. But no new precipitation Tuesday through at least Thursday. Temperatures will yo-yo, trying to moderate a little bit to Tuesday morning, then staying colder, well below normal through the Wednesday-Thursday time frame. Then temperatures yo-yo back the other way. Significant warming for Friday into Saturday. This triggers some moisture, I believe, either down to our south over the Ohio Valley and into the Tennessee Valley, and or up to the north over the Great Lakes. But most of Indiana sits in the middle with nothing going on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And then we are chilly to start the next week, the first full week of December. That's the way things are stacking up. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Thanksgiving Day off and back with a partial day of trade on Friday. This is the Hoosier Ag Today Farm Market Review. Markets closed for Thanksgiving Day. I'm Andy Eubank, and this update is brought to you by Co-Alliance Cooperative, your local agriculture and energy partner for nearly a century. Some market thoughts from Mike Silver of Kokomo Grain, we visited on Thursday morning.
Well, first and foremost, Andy, happy Thanksgiving to you and your family and to all of our listeners. We certainly have a lot to be thankful for this year. There's been quite a few challenges. There will continue to be some challenges, but certainly we have just a lot to be thankful for this Thanksgiving. And I want to express that feeling this morning as we chat. You know, Harvest 21, I've been reflecting on this, and it can be, I think I can sum it up best by saying it's the harvest of two tails, a T-A-I-L, meaning it's been a protracted long harvest. It's been several years since we've still been harvesting some final acreage on the Thanksgiving holiday. And there are still some folks who have a few acres of beans and a few acres of corn to harvest. And I'm sure that they're taking a break today. We've had a little rainfall over the evening, but they're wanting to get harvest wrapped up just as soon as possible. And the other tail is a T-A-L-E. Every harvest is different, and certainly this harvest has a lot of T-A-L-E's to it, tails. Things that have been surprising this year. You know, we went into the harvest season earlier in the summer with the expectation that corn and soybean yields would be best ever over large areas. The weather, Mother Nature didn't quite cooperate to the fullest extent that she might have, but certainly if folks did not have the best yields ever in corn and soybeans, and some did, but we certainly are about to finish up one of the better harvests that we've ever had. USDA won't give us the final numbers until January, but certainly a lot to be thankful for in terms of the yields we did experience. Prices. The prices moved this harvest season in a contra-seasonal pattern. Prices, for the most part, this harvest season have been better than most people expected, and they remain very well supported. The wheat market has provided leadership over the course of the last several weeks now. We made a series of new life of contract highs in the wheat market in the past 5 to 6 days. We did give some of that back yesterday. That was not surprising to me after posting a new series of life of contract highs in all the wheat contracts yesterday. The corn market, it has also supported the soybean market. And in spite of the fact that, soybean yields, for the most part, were very, very good this year. And the expectation was that we could see some depressed soybean prices as we moved into the latter stages of harvest. That just did not happen. And we're able today still to sell soybeans and corn and wheat, for that matter, especially new crop wheat, at some really good numbers. Now, as harvest wraps up here, more folks are focusing on their crop budgets and their acreage decisions for next year. And we know that we have some historic high chemical prices. We have some historically high fertilizer prices, and it's going to be challenging this coming year. But we also have some really good pricing opportunities going into next year. So there are going to be a lot of decisions made here over the course of the next several weeks and several months as we move toward planting season in 2022. The end of the month here coming up next week is first notice day for December futures. We know that there were quite a few folks this year that did not complete pricing, but put grain on basis contracts at the elevators. And I just want to remind folks that that spread, the DEIS March corn spread, narrowed up in trade yesterday. And there's an opportunity now to roll those basis contracts at that narrow spread, which is what you want to do when you have a basis contract and need to move that price reference to the next futures month. So folks can, when we resume trade at 9:30 Friday morning, think about that and take a look at that DEIS March corn spread if they're holders of basis contracts, and perhaps get that rolled before we move into first notice day next week. So Andy, just a few thoughts to share this morning on Thanksgiving Day. Again, so much to be thankful for, and appreciate the opportunity to work with the Hoosier Ag Today Network, and look forward to opportunities as we move into the new year, Andy. So happy Thanksgiving to you and yours.
Mike Silver at Kokomo Grain. The number there, 800-666-0613. It's the Market Review, and Thursday markets, of course, closed for Thanksgiving. A partial day of trade is on tap for Friday after losses of a couple of cents in corn on Wednesday, over a nickel down in beans, and almost 20 cents lower Chicago wheat. Keep an eye on the markets anytime at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Andy Eubank. Hoosier Ag Today. Timely, relevant, credible.